Amen. Can we turn again in God's Word to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, the portion we have read together just a little earlier. And I would like to draw your attention to the words of verse 16. Romans chapter 1, the verse 16 is my text for this morning. And the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And as we come to consider this portion of God's word, let us just now unite our hearts in prayer and seek the help of the Lord for the preaching of the gospel. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for all that has gone before, and we rejoice, our Father, in help that has been given, for a sense of Thy presence with us. And Lord, as we would come now to meditate upon Thy word, we thank Thee, our Father, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we pray that Thou would take up Thine own inspired word, and Thou would be pleased, O God, to send it forth in the power and demonstration of God the Holy Spirit. And grant, our Father, we would each have that hearing ear and that understanding heart, and Thou would bless Thy word to us richly, even this Lord's day. Do come, our Father, we pray, and touch my lips now with that live coal from off the altar, and help me to speak well of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for it's in His precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Our text of Scripture really forms the theme of the whole letter to the Romans. The Apostle Paul would give us here in a summarized form what he goes on to expound and to explain in the rest of the epistle. We come here to what really encapsulates the whole doctrine that Paul is seeking to bring before us here. Of course, the epistle to the Romans would be teaching that great doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. You can see, looking into our text of Scripture, that really that's what the apostle is looking at here. The words there, salvation to everyone that believeth. And of course, in comparing the verse that follows, verse 17, you find those words, "the just shall live by faith." And so what the Apostle Paul is stating and expressing in our text of Scripture, he goes on to unfold in the rest of the letter. And so our text of Scripture, we're really borrowing from the Apostle Paul himself. As he's writing here to the Romans, he is expressing his desire that he might go and visit them. He has that desire that he would preach the gospel there. If you look at verse 10, you can see that this was certainly a matter of prayer as far as the apostle was concerned. He said there, "making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." And even verse 11 there would show that intense longing and that deep desire that the apostle had. He has made known his burden to the Lord, and now he tells them of it, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." And so very clearly from this portion of Scripture, the apostle is showing to us that great desire that he has to go to Rome, to visit God's people there, and to preach the gospel to them. And you know, when we think about that, that in itself is quite a remarkable thing. When one considers what the apostle Paul has already been through, what he has endured for the cause of Christ. He was imprisoned at Philippi. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He was smuggled out of Damascus. He was laughed at and mocked at Athens. He was considered foolish at Corinth. He was taken to be a blasphemer in Jerusalem. He was stoned at Lystra. But in all of these things, the Apostle Paul was not deterred in any way, nor was he intimidated. But rather, he is still as zealous and as eager as ever he was to serve the Lord and to preach the gospel of his Lord and Savior. And you can see that certainly in the verse 15 that precedes our text. He says, "So as much as in me is..." You can see the determination that's behind those words. There's a real purpose there. "As much as in me is, as far as lies within me." The apostle says, "I am ready. I am ready." In spite of all that he has been through, he says, "I'm now ready." The readiness there of the apostle, and what was it for? "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And certainly you can see from those words the intensity and the feeling that is behind them. Paul's desire to continue the furtherance of the gospel. He wanted to preach the word of God to them that were at Rome as well. And as we come just to consider our text of Scripture, verse 16, I want us to keep that desire of the Apostle Paul in mind. Notice a number of things that he said concerning the gospel. You notice our text of Scripture, the first thing we can see here is the message of the gospel. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed. You know, it's a wonderful thing. The Apostle Paul is able to stand boldly and to make this declaration that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Rather, he counted it as the greatest privilege of being a servant of the Lord and being made a minister of the gospel. And I would say at this point that I continually remind myself of that great privilege of the Lord enabling me to preach the gospel of Christ. It is a most wonderful privilege. Amidst all of the difficulties and the problems that we would endure, perhaps on a week-to-week or even a day-to-day basis, with all that lies before us by way of duty, by way of responsibility, we must continually remind ourselves in the service of the Lord. It's an honor. It is a most wonderful privilege to be able by God's grace to serve the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is wanting to show us here that he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of this message. And we would all agree, I'm sure, to a man today that it is a great sin and a great shame to ever be ashamed of the gospel or ever to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet, we would all have to concede, I'm sure, that in this sinful, hostile world, it's sometimes a very difficult thing to take that stand for the Lord and to stand boldly for the Savior. Whenever opportunities present themselves to us, the Lord opens up doors by which we could witness or testify for our Lord and Savior. We do find that a most difficult thing. It's something that I'm sure we would all struggle with. Just having that boldness, not being ashamed of the Lord, but being that willing witness for Him. You see, to the world, this gospel is not welcome. The natural man would find that the message that we preach is a very unattractive one to them in their natural state. To the one who is still in his sin, he is repulsed by such a message. The world wants a gospel that is unoffensive. The world wants a gospel that makes man feel good, like a health and wealth gospel. But the gospel of this book and the gospel that we seek to preach, it speaks to us about man's depravity and about man's sin. And it exposes man's sinful nature. It confronts man with the depravity of his heart. And because of that, it is not welcome. And we would tend to almost shrink back from making known the gospel of Christ. We would perhaps want to take refuge with God's people and just come together within the church circle, as it were, and there we feel perhaps more secure, rather than reaching out to a lost world. We're happier perhaps to just stay within the confines of the church and the fellowship of God's people. Those ostrich-like tendencies that we want to bury our heads in the sand and forget that there's a world out there that's going to hell. I read about the goose, and I haven't tried it, so I'm not sure if it actually works, but it is said that if you were to take a piece of chalk and draw a white circle around the goose, that goose will actually be reluctant to step outside of the circle. As it comes to the edge of the circle, it will hesitate before it would break out of that circle. Somehow feels some sort of security just staying within the circle. Maybe as God's people we can relate to that to some degree and measure. We're happy within the circle of God's people. We're happy within the security of the church, and maybe we seek some kind of refuge there. We have a world that we have to reach with the gospel. And we ought to have that boldness and courage which the Apostle Paul certainly manifests here when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And there, as he was exhorting young Timothy, he spoke to him about this very matter. And here was the young man who was seeking to serve the Lord. And perhaps he was having a difficulty on this very matter. And when Paul wrote that second letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the verse 7, he says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the apostle says there in verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Young Timothy there, the apostle says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And Paul goes on in that first chapter of 2 Timothy to lead by way of example and to show Timothy that he himself was not ashamed. And he says in verse 12, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul was showing Timothy that he wasn't ashamed. And in verse 16, he spoke about Onesiphorus. And Paul says to Timothy, For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. As the Apostle Paul would exhort us through God's word today, we ought never to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And why should we be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because the gospel of Christ is the message that is good news. That's what the word gospel actually means. The word gospel means good tidings. And therefore we have actually got good news to spread. We have a good message that we can take to those who are lost and undone and still in their natural estate of sin and misery. And we ought not to be hesitant. We ought not to be reluctant, but we ought to have that willing and that submissive heart just to be that humble servant and that witness for the Lord. Not to be ashamed, because here's a message that's good news. I could perhaps understand it easier if it was bad news, and that we were reluctant to take the message because it was a message that brought bad news to an individual. I sometimes think of the position that a doctor or a consultant would find himself in. A patient perhaps that has passed away. The family are waiting there in the room in the hospital for news. And that doctor or consultant has to come in and face the family. And as he comes in, he shakes the head and would say, "We've done all that we could." It must be one of the hardest things, because it's bad news. Dreadfully hard to do that. You see, the gospel is not like that. The gospel is bringing good news, glad tidings of great joy. Because this is the gospel. Mark the words in our text. It's the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of the Savior. That's the message that we have to proclaim. That's the message that we have to take to a world that is dying in sin. It's the good news of a Lord and Savior. Message that he was not ashamed of, because it was a message that focused upon Christ. He's the center of the message. He's the theme of the message. He's the subject of the message. The Christ of God came from the realms of glory, laid aside the glory that he had with the Father, and was willing to come from that dazzling splendor and enter into this world and take upon him the form of a man. And it was all motivated there by love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave him into this world of woe to be despised and rejected of men. Gave him into this world that he would be nailed to that center tree at Calvary. And having lived that perfect and righteous life, he would now die that perfect death. Make that once for all and final sacrifice for sin in order to purchase our redemption with his own precious blood. Gospel of Christ. You can see that here is a wonderful message. A message of good news. And the Apostle Paul was willing to take up that message. And with boldness, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he sought to spread that word. To bring that message to all that he came into contact with and to all whom he wrote to. He always sought to further the gospel of Christ. Ever since that day he embraced it. You remember there on the Damascus Road, that great light shone down from heaven brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul of Tarsus, as he was, he cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He embraced the gospel of Christ. You know, from then on, he ever sought to further that gospel and to preach that gospel unashamedly, unapologetically. He said to the Corinthians, "We preach Christ crucified." It was a message that he was willing to suffer much hardship and much affliction for. He said to the Philippians, "For I am set for the defense of the gospel." He's not ashamed, you see, of the gospel of Christ. It was a message that he actually gloried in. You could look with me in Galatians, as he wrote there to God's people at Galatia in chapter 6 and the verse 14. Now, as he's bringing that particular letter towards a close, he says there in chapter 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Paul says, "God forbid that I should glory. Wouldn't glory in himself, but he gloried in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he gloried in this message of the gospel. If others were ashamed of this message, the Apostle Paul would not be ashamed. And I believe today he would be encouraging us that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we can see something there of the message of the gospel. But I want you to notice from our text in the second place the might of the gospel. The apostle goes on in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." This message that the apostle embraced and preached and defended and gloried in, he says it's the power of God unto salvation. And Paul certainly has in mind here the preaching of the gospel. He was not reluctant, he was not hesitant to preach that gospel. Why? Because the very power of God rested upon it. Just turn over a little further in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul refers here to the preaching of the gospel again. And he uses quite an interesting phrase. In 1 Corinthians 1 and the verse 21, he says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Notice that expression Paul uses here in regard to preaching. He speaks about it as the foolishness of preaching. And it's almost as if the apostle here accepts that to the world at least, that the preaching of the gospel is a foolish method. Would seem today to the world that it's utter folly to stand and to declare this message, to preach the gospel. For me to stand here in this pulpit today and to preach the word of God to the majority in this world, that's something that's totally absurd. And it's almost as if the apostle here acknowledges that in the eyes of the world, preaching itself is simply foolishness. He says it there in that same chapter in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." You see, the apostle shows to the Corinthians, as he has done to the Romans in our text, that the power of God is displayed through this means. In the eyes of the world, it may be a foolish thing and a foolish method, but it is that ordained means that the Lord has set down in order to display his power. Our text could be paraphrased to really say that I am not ashamed of preaching the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul is showing us that the faithful proclamation of God's word will reveal the mighty power of God. Notice that word power in our text. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the word dunamis in the original. The Greek word from which we would get in the English the word dynamite or dynamic. And it's speaking there about power and about strength. And we could say reverently that the proclamation of God's word will reveal the very dynamite of heaven, because the power of God rests upon this message. The Romans themselves would have boasted in earthly power, in earthly might, and that military might. But Paul is coming to them here and he's saying there is a superior power. There is that infinite power. There is that omnipotent power of Almighty God. And that's the power that's at work through the preaching of the gospel. See, it's not with man's power. It's not within man. Man does not have the ability to change himself. And the preacher doesn't have the ability within himself to change one individual. We're looking there at the inability of man. Over there in Jeremiah, chapter 13, man's inability is really brought out. In Jeremiah 13 and the verse 23, it asks the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. And the prophet here is showing to us that the Ethiopian, it's impossible for him of himself to change the color of his skin. Looking at the leopard, it is impossible for the leopard to change its spots. And as the prophet has brought out that inability, he shows then the inability of man. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do. If the Ethiopian can change the color of his skin, and the leopard can change his spots, then man can change himself. Change himself from having that nature of evil, having that nature of good. Of course, it is showing to us by way of illustration that it's an impossible thing. It is just not within man's power to change his nature. It is only the power of an omnipotent God who can change man's heart. Only the power of God. Whenever Israel came safely through the Red Sea, it tells us in Exodus 15 that they sang there the song of Moses. The children of Israel joined in that song. And they sang there about the right hand of God. And they spoke of that right hand of God, speaking of power, as the right hand that was glorious in power. The power of God is glorious power. And when it comes through the means of the preaching of God's word, and the power of Almighty God rests upon that word, it is only then that the heart of man can be changed. And therefore we can say that the most important thing that is going on at any given time in this world is the preaching of the gospel. Because the preaching of the gospel is God's ordained means. It is there that the Holy Spirit of God attends. It is there that the hearts and lives of individuals are touched by the mighty power of God. It is there that men and women and boys and girls and young people are transformed and regenerated and delivered by the mighty power of our omnipotent God. That's why the apostle said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Notice he says it's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation. That word means deliverance. It means rescue. To be delivered and to be rescued. And you could look at salvation in a negative aspect, and you could look at it in a positive aspect. If we were to look at it in a negative way, we could look at what we've been rescued from. And we've been rescued from sin, and rescued from condemnation, and rescued from pollution, and rescued from addiction, and ultimately rescued from everlasting death and hell. That's what salvation is when you look at it in a negative aspect as to what we've been delivered and rescued from. But we can look at it then in the positive, and that state into which we've been brought. Salvation brings us into a state of peace, the state of freedom, the state of fellowship and communion with the Lord. We're enabled by God's grace to live that holy and that righteous life, and ultimately will be brought into that state of everlasting life in the glory. If we were wanting to simply sum it up as to what salvation means, it means to be brought from the worst possible state of evil and to be brought to the greatest possible state of good. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The sovereign power of God. The saving power of God. The sustaining power of God. That glorious power of God's right hand. Tell me the day. Can you testify of that power? Is there a time in your life's experience you heard the message of the gospel? You heard that good news, the gospel of Christ. You felt the Holy Spirit of God at work upon your heart, drawing you with irresistible grace, drawing you with the cords of love, bringing you to close in with God's offer of mercy. That's the power of God in the gospel. I want us to notice just one further thought together. We come thirdly to the mission of the gospel. You can see as our text of Scripture continues again, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice the mission. To everyone. You notice the words, to everyone. We can preach this message without fear and without favor. We can seek to spread the good news to everyone. The text finishes by saying to the Jew and also to the Greek. I don't believe the apostle was actually setting the Jew above the Gentile here, but rather it's a reference to the historical order of the gospel. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ actually came to us through the Jews. There's an interesting little expression in John chapter 4 in verse 22. And it says, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Salvation is of the Jews. What the Word of God is showing us, that the gospel of Christ actually came to the Jew and it came through the Jew to the Gentile. It's the chronological order of the spreading of the gospel. It's to the Jew first, but it's not only to the Jew. It's to the Greek. And the reference there to the Greek is simply a reference to the Gentile. The emphasis here is being placed by the Apostle Paul to show us the fact that the gospel is open to all, to Jew, to Gentile, yea, to everyone, to every race, to every nationality, to every color, to high, to low, to rich, to poor. Here's the great mission. The scope of the gospel is reaching out into all the world. There's the mission or the commission that lies before us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. To everyone, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But notice the key here. The verse says, to everyone that believeth. Believeth. There's the key to the gospel of Christ. It's speaking to us about faith. Justified by faith. Isn't that what Paul is teaching us in this epistle? And right the way through it, he unfolds that message to us. The gospel is enjoyed by those who believe. You can remember, I'm sure, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 when he cried out to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And together they said, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Christ is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone that attends church. not even this church. The gospel of Christ is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone who pays into the church, not even to this church. The gospel of Christ is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone that has been baptized, or to everyone that has received the ordinances of the church. The gospel of Christ is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does good deeds and seeks to be very charitable and to be that good, upstanding member of society and to be very neighborly. No. The Bible teaches us very clearly that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. A simple, childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings salvation. The gospel hasn't changed. We have the same position today. That in this new year into which we've entered 2008, thank God, the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I wonder today, have you exercised that faith in your heart? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Have you accepted Him by simply putting your faith in Him, repenting of your sin, seeking the cleansing of the precious blood, forgiveness of your sins? Oh, how important it is to have that faith in Christ today. One commentator described that believing, that faith in Christ, as the sinner's empty hand stretched out to God. The sinner's empty hand stretched out to God, just as Top Lady penned the words, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." The preaching of the gospel, it's the ordained means. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here's the means of grace today by which we can come to that saving faith. That saving faith that is essential for the salvation of our souls in eternity. And you know, as you go through life, that's the most important thing of all. And as you reach the point of death, it's the only thing that matters. Faith in Christ. Dr. Herman Bavinck was a great Reformed theologian, a very learned man, a very scholarly man, a man who has written a number of doctrinal works. But he came to his deathbed. And on his deathbed he said, "My learning does not help me now. Neither does my dogmatics. Faith alone saves me." Not that he was denying anything that he had been taught or anything that he had learned, but what that man was simply pointing out, that when it comes to the hour where we depart from this earth, all that matters is having your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." May God bless His word to each of our hearts.